Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the program Socially Speaking. I am your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is a beautiful Monday morning, alhamdulillah. And as usual, our first slot is the Monday morning focus slot. But this morning, we won't be doing the ideal Muslimah, but we'll be speaking to Michael Erasmus about the electricity crisis and a company called GC International, and how can one benefit from these services of this GC International company. That will be followed by Drug Talk with Sister Nazia Saleji, and we also have another guest with us, Sister Nadine Goliath from Get Wise Anti-Sub Abuse Empowerment program, inshallah. So today we'll be discussing substance abuse in the workplace, and quite a few things that we'll be talking about, but we'll tell you about that a little later in the program. First up, Monday morning focus, and we have Michael Erasmus online with us. Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Always a pleasure.
Okay, now we're going to be talking about the electricity crisis and your company called GC International. First of all, tell us, how serious is the electricity crisis in South Africa, really?
Well, as we know, there's not enough power to supply the country at the moment. They don't have the necessary funds to build the new power plants. So, unfortunately, we as the end consumers are held responsible for those costs. And this is why our electricity tariffs has literally doubled within the last 3 to 4 years. And unfortunately, that trend is here to stay. If you had a look on, I think it was Carte Blanche a few months ago, they reckon that trend is here to stay for the next 10 years. So what we as GC International does is, and what makes us so successful for the past 13 years, is we don't just look at one aspect of your power usage, namely your geysers. Because if you have a look at most energy-saving solutions currently on the market, they only look at one aspect of your power usage, and that's your geysers. Now, there's nothing wrong with the technology, but as we all know, it's a big capital expenditure for saving on just one aspect of your power usage. And this is precisely what makes us the market leaders, because all these types of items come down to one thing and one thing alone, and that's return on investment. The faster the system pays for itself, the faster it starts putting actual money back into your pocket. Now, the average return on investment for the systems that is available just for your geysers is between 6 and 9 years. What makes us the market leaders is our average return on investment is between 1 and 3 years, because we've got a geyser management system that saves you up to 60% on your geyser's power usage. It's not timer-based. We regulate the physical flow of energy that goes to the geyser's element. But the brain behind everything is a system which is called the POC system. That stands for Power Optimizing Correctioner. The POC system will enable the end consumer to save on all the other rest of the household power problems as well. All your, what they call your inductive loads, that's all your major current pullers, that's your fridges, freezers, tumble dryers, washing machines, dishwashers, your air conditioning units, swimming pool pumps, borehole pumps, the works. The problem with these types of items is the ineffective use of the industrial load. Now, that might sound a bit Greek, but what it comes down to is your power isn't utilized as effectively as it should be. Every premises has got what they call a power factor. The best household power factor that we have picked up thus far was only 77%. So that means out of 100% power that goes through your meter that you automatically pay for, only about 77% of that power is utilized effectively. So about 23% of the power that you pay for is put into heat and it's lost. Now, the POC system on your alternating current lines recycles all that wasted energy, puts it back to your disposal first. Because you use what's at your disposal first, you obviously need less from the meter side. So everything works exactly like it's supposed to work. You don't change your household routines in any way whatsoever, but you pull less units from the meter. Less units equals smaller bills at the end of the month. To give the listeners an idea, Our average household client saves between 38 and 43% on their total power usage. The lowest household saving we have picked up thus far was 33%. So the listeners are looking at least a third of their monthly electricity bill less. Now, I mean, a third of a 2,000 Rand electricity bill is almost 700 Rand a month, which is obviously a lot of money that you're not wasting anymore. That's 8,400 Rand over a year's period that you're not wasting anymore. And the good thing about what we at GC International does is we guarantee you with saving on black and white or a full money back refund.
Okay, that sounds absolutely amazing. But who actually can benefit from the GC International services?
That's the good thing about what we do. As we've got a broad product range, so we can accommodate anybody that uses electricity. From the industry, medium-sized businesses, right through to your end consumer, your household, etc.
So it's for anybody and everybody. Anybody that
anybody
needs it.
Anybody and everybody. Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. How can people get in contact with you, please, if anybody is interested?
Yeah, the good thing about what we've got a nice promotional offer running today. For the first 20 clients that place their orders, our 2-geezer household package that normally sell for about 23,000, we've got that complete package on promotion for 17,000 on the dot. That includes your 2-geezer management systems. It includes the POC system, which is the brain behind everything. It includes a wireless metering unit that gives you accurate readings of what your power usage is. It includes an induction plate, which is 50% cheaper than your stovetop cooking. It includes an induction kettle, and it includes installation. So that full package for 17,000 on the dot today only. Then for our single geezer households, those packages normally sell for about 17,500. We've got them on promotion, the full package for 14,500 on the dot. So the only thing that the listeners have to do, if you want to be part of that promotional offer for today, you can SMS the word power, a space directly after that, your name and area where you stay to 42961, 42961, SMS the word power, a space directly after that, your name and the area where you stay, you can SMS to 42961. And we will make contact with you as soon as possible so you can have peace of mind that you can indeed qualify for that first 20 promotional offer systems.
Okay, wonderful. And just very briefly, if anybody is interested in perhaps reading up or finding out more about the GC International services, do they contact you or do you perhaps have a website?
They can just contact us. We will send one of our agents out to their homes. They will give a complete demonstration of exactly how the system works, and you can have total peace of mind from there and just invest with total freedom in the system.
Okay, no contact number, telephone number, or is it just the SMS number?
It's just the SMS line, so then we will obviously make contact with the clients.
Okay, so it's just SMS power, space, name and area, the space in between, obviously, and then the number is 42961.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Michael, for all that information, and we hope our listeners will contact you ASAP.
It is just a pleasure, and you must have a lovely day there.
Well, thank you very much, you too. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. Well, listeners, that was Michael Erasmus from the company GC International Services, and it's all about, saving your electricity. So if you are interested, they have these wonderful promotions on for today. If you want to know more, please SMS the number, or at least the name power and space in between. Then you put in name, your name and area, and, of course, the number is 42961. Well, listeners, that's it then. When we return, inshallah, in a few moments, we're going to be speaking to Sister Nazia Saliji and Nadine Goliath from the Get Wise Anti-Substance Abuse Empowerment Program. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenit. My two wonderful guests that I have with me in the studio is Sister Nazia Saliji and Sister Nadine Goliath from the Get Wise Anti-Substance Abuse Empowerment Program. No, that's a mouthful, but we're going to be finding out what that is all about in a little while. And also our topic that we're going to be discussing on Drug Talk today is substance abuse in the workplace. We're going to be looking at, you know, how substance abuse causes problems in the workplace, the effects of various types of substances, and how substance abuse impacts on the workplace. I think that is so important. Also, what does a workplace actually do, or what can they do to address substance abuse issues? I hope our listeners will be listening very carefully. If you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. That's the studio number. And of course, you can SMS me on the number 082-8492-786. You can also send any some of your WhatsApp messages on that number, 082-8492-786. Assalamu alaikum, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, Nazia and Nadine.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zinat, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners. It's so good to be in your space again.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. We haven't had you here for a while now.
Yes.
It's just that time flies. You know, there's so much happening and there's just no time to do everything that you want to do. I don't know what that really means. But anyway, Nadine, it's wonderful to have you with us as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, we want to talk about substance abuse in the workplace. But before we do that, please tell us a little about this program that you are involved with now, GetWise Anti-Substance Abuse Empowerment Program. What is it all about?
Sister Zinat, GetWise Anti-Substance Abuse Empowerment Programs. In our title, Empowerment Programs, we want to empower the communities to basically, with the anti-substance abuse or anti-drug abuse information and education that is necessary for us to combat this. We realize that it's common knowledge. Knowledge is power. So the more knowledge we can empower our communities with, the more power we have to keep fighting this problem. So GetWise anti-substance abuse programs are actually educational programs where we educate communities, schools, etc., corporate companies and staff wellness days on the dangers of substance abuse. And we also offer them, you know, in terms of referrals, if somebody needs help, we direct them to the proper place that can assist them.
Okay, so you're the programs developer, and Nadine, you are the coordinator, the programs coordinator. What is your, you know, what do you actually do then?
Okay, as you said, I'm the program coordinator, so when we do go out, we make contact with the different organizations and companies. We bring forth our program, we tell them all the services we offer, and then our job is to find out how we can best, you know, what's the word?
Tailor make
the program for a certain company. So if the company says this is our main concern, we suspect that maybe the most commonly abused drug in the workplace is maybe crystal meth, for example, then we will then read up with all our information and tailor make the program so that the focus will be on the drug that the company is most concerned with. And I think that is our X factor. We don't just go there and bombard, but we also do research on the company, find out what is the company's values, what do they stand for, and we also incorporate that in our programs as well.
Mm-hmm. And as the programs developer, what does that actually mean?
Okay, Sister Zinat, like Nadine said, we work hand in hand. So if we develop a program or tailor make a program to suit the company or the factory's needs, or for that matter, even the school, you know, we look at them as what are their needs, then I will then develop the program which is best suited to suit the environment, and Nadine will basically be the go-to person who coordinates the actual program on the ground. But our programs have a twist, sisters, in it, because, you know, a lot of times people do drug tests, people then say, okay, you need to go to an outpatient, so you need to go for counseling. We also have what we call a CAP testing, or competency and aptitude, competency and placement test, where we assess the learners, especially at a grade 9 and matric level. We assess their competency proficiency in math and English, and then we do a placement test to see which is the best possible career choice or career path that this person can follow. So they're basically writing a test, and from the results of the test, we get to see what are the learning areas that this student needs assistance with. So although to them they're writing a test, this test is actually broken up into sub-tests, which then give us an indicator that if the learner wants to go into engineering, but look, in his mathematical sub-test, he hasn't scored quite good in the areas that he needs, we then map a way forward for him in terms of educating him to get him to the level where he's ready for engineering. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't just want to say drugs, drugs, drugs. We also want to say here is your educational alternative. If you are going to do drugs, you are going to miss out on these very valuable directional points. You know, you're not going to be able to focus in school, so how are you going to get to be an engineer? So that is GetWise's X factor.
So simply speaking, I hope I've got it right here, is that if a person, even if the child or the pupil has a problem, a drug problem, you still assess them, the educational side of it as well. And then from there, you kind of guide them, you know, and try and get them off the abusing the substance so that they can focus more on what they can do with their lives in the future instead of wasting it in you know, getting involved further and further into drugs. And obviously that. So basically that's what you are doing. You're not only counseling the drugs that they are taking or the drug user, but you're also, counseling them and, focusing their attention on the right things that they can do in life.
Absolutely, Sister Zenit. I mean, oftentimes you find people who have been through the process. They've been through their counselings. They've been through their rehab, if I can call it, you know, and then they say, but what now? What should I do now? So what we are trying to say is that this is based on your potential. This CAP test that we do, the results, the outcomes, is based on your potential. And there's no person who can fail a CAP test. You know, everybody's got competence, they're competent in certain areas, and everybody can be placed in an industry of their choice that suits their capabilities. So what we do is we say to them, if you're going to be focusing on the wrong substances, and you are very much on the right track, Sister Zenit, in this regard, then how are you going to tap into your potential? So as life coaches, this is what we do. We basically coach them onto the right track to say, here's your potential, there's your path, you choose which direction you're going to go into. But we provide support every step of the way until their child reaches their, or achieves or sees their potential and then grows from there.
It's wonderful. So basically, this is not only something that you do at school level, you do it at workplaces too. How can you help a person in a workplace situation?
You know, we get asked that question so many times because it sounds as if a CAP test is just for learners or students. Any point in somebody's life, they realize that, you know what, I studied to do this, but I actually want to do something else. I'm more creative, you know. Perhaps maybe I'm studying to be a CA, but I love painting and I love, you know, doing things with creative arts. Basically, we then unearth or we tap into that potential and we say, look, it's okay for you. You are competent in this area. This is what you can go into. I mean, at no point do we have to stick to one path of our careers, you know. It's very nice for us to be holistic and to be well-rounded, and it's also therapeutic for us to explore the other sides of our talents.
Okay. Nadine, would you like to come in here? Set off. Okay. Anyway, now let's start talking about substance abuse in the workplace. Why should a workplace look at substance abuse issues?
Sister Zenit, substance abuse is growing at an alarming rate in all, I can say, industries, in all areas, socially, economically. And the thing about workplaces is that they are varying industries. So there's different types of drugs that affect different sectors, if I can call it that, in different ways. For example, we've got your corporate sector. We've got your health sector. Now, if you think about the health sector, you've got a paramedic who's working shifts. And they're short-staffed. This person's being called to work, you know, extra or double time. How does a person physically cope? Remember, financially, they are under pressure to provide for their families. So what will they turn to? They will turn to stimulants, which are your ecstasy, your cat, anything that's ephedrine, that has ephedrine, which will keep them awake and give them that much more energy. Now, this will impact the way they respond to people. I mean, they handling lives, you know. And so that is how it will impact the health system, you know, in terms of service, what will it do to that person. Then you've got your teachers. They've got deadlines. They've got limited time to reach their deadlines. They are answerable to the districts and to this and to that. We have seen a sharp rise in alcoholism and depression. And abuse
in teachers,
in the education sector. We are seeing your prescription medication, your alcohol, you know, it's been alarming, if we can tell you, the amount of cases that we have seen where you will walk in and you will actually see somebody and they display the symptoms and the signs of someone who has been drinking. And this is like 9 o'clock in the morning. So that is an alarming indicator. Then you have your hospitality industry, your catering, your chefs, your waiters, your hotel staff. How do drugs impact also stimulants? They work difficult shifts, they're tired, and they use stimulants to keep themselves up and going. In the corporate, you'll find also your cocaines and your stimulants because they need to be on top of their game. They need to be thinking. They need to be sharp, on top of the ball. And this is where there's a dangerous threat of using stimulants. It's mainly stimulants and prescription medication that we see a sharp increase of people using.
So it certainly does. And it is very common in the workplace.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, all right. So are there, another thing is, how does substance abuse impact on the workplace generally? I mean, where business is concerned, things like that. Would you like to come in there, Nadine?
Yes, I would. Thank you. How substance abuse impacts the workplace? Look, as Nazia said, most abuse substances is stimulants. So that would be like your cocaine, your crystal meth. So when people taking these stimulants, right, they normally have this large amounts of energy. And when it has come to a point where they need to, or rather at the crash stage of this, right? So once the drug wears off, they then crash. And they end up being more tired, you know, than they previously were. And once they get to the stage where they're more tired, you know, they stay out of work, so there's absenteeism, there's loss of production, they won't be very productive at work, they'll maybe sleep on the job, it will affect their performance. If you're in a manager position, you know you'll have poor decision-making skills because you're going to end up being so tired, you understand? So there's a lot of things, you know, you end up having fights or in trouble, constantly in trouble with your supervisors or with your co-workers or anyone else because of the effects of this drug. So once it wears off, it's at its dangerous stage. Also, one thing I'd like to add is, Nazia said stimulants is being abused. Also, the energy drinks, you know, people think energy drinks aren't addictive. They think it's you know, it's their past to stay awake. But what they don't understand is you only limited to drink a certain amount of that energy drink. And once they start abusing it, you know, they'll drink 3 to 4 cans a day, and then it will also result in them being overtired and putting unnecessary pressure on their heart, you know, get diseases such as hypertension and so forth.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking, and welcome back to the Drug Talk slot. We're talking to Nazia Saleji, who is a program developer, and Nadine Goliath, who is the program coordinator from GetWise Anti-Substance Abuse Empowerment Program. And we're discussing substance abuse in the workplace today. Okay, we have a caller online. Let's take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Jeeva.
I had a family member, she was in rehab. And she's done the whole course and the aftercare and all that. But she's still very argumentative. She got mood swings. She shouts and screams. And I don't know if she suffers from a persecution complex or is that part? Is that a separate thing altogether? But she was on drugs, and like we sent her for rehab. Yeah. We just want to know if there's bipolar thing where she shouts and screams in her family. At the least provocation.
Okay, I'm sure Nazia will Nadine would be able to help you there.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran.
Jazakallah so much for calling in. What I'd like to know is, was she diagnosed with bipolar mood disorder?
Not really. Just my own assumption. I don't know if they see psychologists at the rehab center, but we don't know. They just treated her, on a very superficial basis. They have a lot of freedoms and so on.
Yes.
And they work more on a one-to-one, But she seems to think that her mother dominates her and her mother controls her and so on.
I see.
And then she wants to be free from control.
I see. What normally happens is that during the aftercare process, they should have attended groups where they learn life skills on how to cope with relationships again, how to, reroute their relationships, because, oftentimes they don't know how to cope without the drug. And that's when they become aggressive and, they forget that they learn certain coping mechanisms in rehab, but they don't necessarily practice these coping mechanisms when they leave. They need to be reminded. So maybe make contact with her therapist where she was, if she is still doing, if she still qualifies for aftercare, because that is why they say rehabilitation is like a lifelong process. She's going to have to go back and attend groups again and perhaps speak her mind. If you suspect that she has a psychological problem, then you need to take her to a psychologist to be assessed so she can be given medication that can assist her, because oftentimes, like I said, it's a circle. They go back to the same behaviors if they don't keep practicing. So practice makes perfect. She needs to practice the life skills she was taught during her rehabilitation process.
Now, one last question is, we belong to a support group. We meet every week. Hello?
Yes, yes.
And I met a friend of mine. He's a local guy. He's a hypnotist. Has anybody tried hypnotism? A group hypnotism, in fact, or individual. He says it's expensive. They charge quite a bit.
Yes.
But I don't know if that is an alternative also to help.
Yes.
Because we've tried everything else.
It depends on your personal preference or on her abilities to also receive these processes. Because the mind is a funny thing, and we must be careful who we allow to basically, come in there and make suggestions or you must be very careful. Honestly, my advice is I'd rather have someone conscious, and aware of what it is that they are taking in and understanding and responsive. So go back to the rehab center perhaps and the therapist who dealt with her and perhaps readmit her to aftercare programs.
Thank you. Jazakallah.
Barakallah.
Salaam.
Okay. Jazakallah khair for that call, brother. Inshallah, Allah make it easy for you.
Amen.
Okay, let's continue with our program. Okay, there's just one SMS that's come in. Let's just quickly take that before we continue.
Yeah.
It's Shem, just wanting to know something again. Assalamu alaikum. Just wanted to know about cough mixture mixed with Coca-Cola. Very common these days.
Absolutely. Sister Zenith, it's cough mixture. It's anything that contains codeine. So while you might be aware of cough mixture at the moment, people are also mixing anything that contains codeine in the form of tablets with Coke. It is very dangerous. Medication is only to be taken with water. And that is your tablets. If it is cough mixture, it was not meant to be taken with Coke. So the guidelines are on the label of the cough mixture. And I would strongly suggest that people do not mix medication with Coke. I've even heard of diabetic people taking their diabetic medication with Coke. That completely defeats the purpose of the medication. Remember that Coke has its own chemicals. The cough mixture is also made up of its own chemicals. Once the two combine, you might get the opposite effect to what you want, or to the desired. It's completely wrong.
Okay, Jazakallah khair for that. Okay, let's continue. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548 and the SMS or WhatsApp number is 082-8492-786. And today we're actually talking about substance abuse in the workplace. So if you do have any concerns with regards to that too, please do call in. Okay, now what we want to start asking you about is back to the workplace again. Normally, obviously, when you do get employed, you certainly have to, fill in a contract or sign a contract. Yes. So is substance abuse, conditions usually added in a contract?
I think that perhaps it's supposed to. It's a norm that it's supposed to. But when it comes to the contract, even if it is in the contract, you cannot force an employee to take a drug test. Mm. It has to be a voluntary process. And what the workplace needs to do is have a policy in place which they make the employee familiar with to say, we do have a substance abuse policy and the objective should be to promote and ensure employee wellness and to provide and maintain a safe working environment. Because remember, an employee who uses substances is a danger to himself and the people around him. If you think of someone, perhaps a welder, if he was to be smoking dacha before he goes into his, working environment and he's operating heavy machinery, he can hurt himself or seriously injure someone else. So South African courts have found that although that you cannot make someone, it has to be a voluntary process, the courts have found that prevention of alcohol and substance abuse management, the management is responsible to make employees aware and ensure that employers do not commence work if they are drunk or under the influence of drugs. So there's actually a heavy, not burden, but responsibility placed on management. And employees under the influence who pose a danger to themselves and others. I mean, you can see it as a supervisor in the morning. You know your staff. You need to be familiar and aware with the signs and symptoms of substance abuse. And this is where GetWise comes in. We actually capacitate and train people, staff and, health and safety officers to spot the signs and symptoms of substance abuse because it's so important. And through the substance abuse policy, Sister Zinat, a list of prohibited substances in the workplace needs to be provided to employees. How will your employees know, what is prohibited unless you need that list? The assistance of the employer is prepared to provide the employees who voluntarily disclose a substance abuse problem. Oftentimes people don't want to say, I have a problem. They're afraid if I tell my boss, I'm going to get fired.
I'll lose my job.
I'll lose my bread and butter. So let me rather keep it quiet. But the boss will be able to pick up that this person's performance, number one, is gone down. So he's not productive. Number three, it's going to lead to emotional outbursts at work and inappropriate behavior. So we also have that. So we're trying to say to companies to adapt that approach where make your employees know you can come through and speak to us should you have a problem. They should also let them know the consequences of working under the influence, not just for the company, but for the safety aspect of the company, of the employees who are around that particular employee, and also the consequences of not disclosing your substance abuse problem. The whole focus these days is employee wellness programs, and this is something that needs to go out to all companies. If you have a happy staff, you have a productive staff, So we need to have employee wellness programs where substance abuse policies are made known, and we do education and prevention and awareness education to the employees. And through that education aspect, they then approach us, because people don't just approach your company and say, I have a problem, unless the company makes the service available.
So this is important for any company to have these policies in place for their workers. So, I think it makes it a little easier for the person that may have a problem, because the one thing the person is so scared of is losing a job. As it is, I have this problem. I need the money for the problem itself, obviously. Mm. And then if I'm going to lose it, I'm not going to be able to help myself in any way. So that's one of the reasons, like you say, that they would rather keep quiet and carry on with this and obviously endanger so many people's lives, their own included.
Yes.
So it's important, and I think it's such a wonderful thing if every company, every school have this all in place so that they can help more of our people out there that are on using substances that obviously they're not supposed to.
Absolutely, Sister Zinat. And remember, we're not just talking about illegal drugs here. We're talking about prescription medication. We're even talking about cigarettes. How many people are saying, you know, I want to quit, but I just don't know how. Now your workplace has a substance abuse policy where you can come through and actually say, listen, I have a problem with this and it's affecting my work. If I have to leave every 10 minutes to take a smoke break, I mean, that's affecting the company's bottom line because I'm not going to be productive. You know, if I don't have my cigarette on the other hand, I'm going to be irritable and I won't be able to do my work properly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about the approach. Companies changing their approach. Managers, even your shops, you know, your little dealerships here saying to their mechanics and that, look, we have the service available. Let's do a substance abuse prevention campaign. You can get educated on the dangers of smoking and drinking alcohol and using medication and mixing it with things like Coke, you know. And through there, people come through and say, listen, I need help. I have a problem. I just didn't know where to go.
I think this is so wonderful, you know, for at least people out there that maybe, even those that don't want to come up, can actually now come up and say, look, I have a problem, knowing full well, no, my job is secured.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to lose my job because I came here for help.
Yes.
So I think that is something wonderful, and, you know, yes, people should take advantage of this kind of offers that are available out there.
Yes, and they also need to understand that your employer has a responsibility to help you. They need to try and help you before they fire you. It is something that a lot of people, you know, have a myth about. There's a big myth around, if I go and say I have a problem, I'm going to be judged. I have to take time off work to go to rehab probably, and that will be unpaid. And, you know, how am I going to support my family? And there's a lot of myths around it. But like I said, GetWise Anti-Substance Abuse focuses on empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
We want to empower you with the knowledge to say, listen, if I do have a problem, how? Here's a solution for it. There's nothing that you can't talk about. And we offer a free and space, a free space to bring your problems to the fore and deal with them.
Inshallah. Nadine, anything that you would like to add here?
Yes, it's basically just as Nazia said, the policy is important, you know, and you need to form that relationship with your employees, and you need to reassure them that whatever they are about to disclose to you, it is confidential, it stays between the two of you, and it's very important for the employers to take the employees' best interests at heart, you know. When you do have these programs, we come out and we do these programs where we educate you. Different substances that are being abused, what you can do about it, how do you approach this problem hands-on. We also offer solutions, what can you do to help minimize you using the substance. And this is like a follow-up program. As we mentioned earlier, we offer the X factor. So when we do go out and we do these programs and we get our clientele and we do the programs with them, we do follow-ups with them, you know. We don't just take them through this journey and leave them halfway, but we take them on this journey and then we still find out, okay, how are you doing, how are you coping. We offer them extra life skills, because one thing about substance abuse is it's a problem that will never go away. It's constantly there with you. Just last night I was watching this program on ETV, where the program was titled Peddling Poisons, where this couple was abusing substances, you know, and even though they went into this program, the one got clean, the other one didn't, you know, and there was no follow-up procedure. But with us, at least, there is a follow-up procedure, you know. With us, the client is always number one. So when we do go out to do these programs, we treat our clients as the number one and top priority. Because at the end of the day, in order for them to function at their best, all areas need to be seen to.
Alhamdulillah. And finally, just we're almost running out of time. Are there elements at work that may contribute to abuse of substances?
Certainly, Sister Zinat. You know, in the various industries, it comes with the various pressures. So you'll have things like coping with deadlines. Mm-hmm. You know, some people can't cope with pressure. They might say that, oh, we cope well under pressure in the interview, but come time for them to actually perform, what they use is stimulants to try and cope with the pressure. There's also the stressful, the stressful atmosphere. There's the expectations you need to meet. There's a lot of contributing factors, also depression, where people try to socially fit in. They try and change certain aspects of their personalities to fit in with their workmates, because the working culture is a different culture, and people it can either make you or it can break you, and there's certain people who don't have the self-esteem to go in. It's just like a teenager. You've got a 32-year-old female, but there's really a 19-year-old child inside this person who can't cope with the social pressure. So she will do anything to fit in. So whereas we know alcohol and stuff is wrong in Islam, according to us, you'll find this person caving under pressure because they never had the self-esteem to say no when they were younger. And that is where the life skills come in that Nadine mentioned. We coach people with life skills, everybody needs a place to talk. I mean, whenever something happens, we look for our friends, our sisters, we at GetWise provide platforms for people to basically learn those life skills that will take you to another level personally and empower you to take the right decisions.
Alhamdulillah. Nadine, any last message for our listeners before we end our program?
I would like to end off with saying that there is hope. Don't be a victim of what people have to say. Do you yourself know what you are capable of? And if you do have a problem, there is people out there who is willing to help you, such as myself and Nazia. Speak about it. There is hope at the end of the tunnel.
Nazia?
Sister Zinat, my final words to our Radio Islam listeners and anyone who's short of hope right now is that circumstances are as responsible for shaping your character as much as a mirror is responsible for your reflection. You have the power to change your life. If you want help in this regard, please do contact us and we will definitely assist you.
Okay, your contact number?
It's 076-783-4657.
And Nadine, can I contact you too?
Yes, it's 078-669-8173.
Okay, Jazakallah once again for a wonderful program, and I hope to have you with us again soon, inshallah. And we'll continue with our program called Drug Talk. It's basically to educate our listeners out there all about drugs so that you know and you are empowered, and inshallah, we can only try and make a better place for everybody out there, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, Sister Zinat.
Okay, thank you so much, Nadine.
Thank you.
Jazakallahu khair, Nazia.
Barakallah.
That's it then from us. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.